Thank you, Brother Jeremiah. Amen. I'm glad that I know the one that can satisfy my soul. Amen. Take your Bibles with me this morning, if you would, and go to the book of Galatians. The book of Galatians. We'll be turning our Bibles a little bit this morning. But in Galatians chapter number 6 is where we'll be to start with, and then we will be turning to a few other places today. I wanted to just take time to give the tape room the title before I take off, and as others said, you know, go through my 20 minutes of introduction and then 10 minutes of preaching and then 10 minutes of finishing or whatever it is that they said I do. But it is good to be in God's house. I don't know any other place I'd want to be this morning. Amen. You know why? The songs this morning have reminded me of heaven. Have reminded me that I got something that's worth having. You know, the world, they don't know what they're missing, folks. And I'm reminded consistently as I read the scripture of an apostle named Paul who realized that he was just a wretch, but that God had lifted him up out of the miry clay and used him to be his mouthpiece over and over again. Amen. And with that in mind this morning, let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning and just ask his blessings upon his message. Dear Lord, I come to you this morning the best way I know how, and God, beg you again to use me as your messenger boy, Lord, to just preach the unsearchable riches that can be found in Jesus Christ. I pray, dear God, today that if there's one in the building that has never accepted Christ as their Savior, that today would be the day of salvation. God, I pray that you'd be in the message, Lord, that you burdened my heart with this morning, that you would help me, Lord. The Holy Spirit of God, you preach it with clarity through me today. In Jesus' name, amen. The Crossroads of Eternity. That's the title I want for the tape room to put on there, The Crossroads of Eternity. I do believe that we live in a day and age where it can be clearly seen from the scripture that we'll read that even the Apostle Paul, writing to the church at Galatia, here in the Galatian church, he says in verse 14 of chapter 6, "But God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world." My heart and my meditation this week has been upon this verse. I read this verse and crossed over it, and just it would not let me go. It held on to me, and I realized Paul the Apostle, under the inspiration of a holy God, wrote and penned this down not only for the church at Galatia, there the Galatian church, the Galta, but that for us and our in the future, that we would read and pass by this, that God would leave it for us, and that we would realize that Paul came to a crossroads in his life. That he realized that he met Jesus Christ, and for him it really was like a crossroads on the road to Damascus as he went his way, and all of a sudden somebody who was a doctor of the law, somebody who had studied and knew all there was to know about the Old Testament law, came face to face with the New Testament Jesus, who was looking for an Old Testament Messiah but found that Jesus was that Messiah and spoke to him from heaven with a bright and shining light and knocked him down in the road and said, "I'm Jesus." Why? He even to the point of saying, "Why is it so hard for you to kick against the pricks?" Folks, if you're here this morning and you found your way into the building, or maybe you can go back in your mind's eye when you were that person and you remember when you were the person that was kicking against the things of God, when God was wooing and drawing and speaking to you, the Apostle Paul could take himself back and did over and over again as he gave testimony of how he met Jesus on that road that day, and that he knew about that Jesus and had decided he was going to persecute, but he had a personal interaction or had a personal relationship from that day on with the Lord Jesus Christ because of what struck him down in the road. Folks, you know, that was a crossroads in his life. And the way he explains it here in the verse, read it again with me. He said, "But God forbid that I should glory." That is one of the strongest saying, I should never go back. I should never change this. I should never glory in anything that I have done. Paul, in other places in the scripture, explained how great a doctor he was and how much school he had had and what tribe that he came from, and that he was a Jew and a Pharisee of the Pharisees. He had some things that he could brag on, but he said, "I don't want to glory in anything
save this. He says, that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. Do you realize when you become a Christian and you get on fire like Paul, the apostle, was on fire? You realize the world, you are not only crucified from the world, this is a mark of separation. The cross of Jesus Christ and the crossroads of our lives is a demarcation. Doesn't mean that we can't rub shoulders with people out in the world and in the workplace and tell people about it, but it means that there's a demarcation or a line where I am crucified from the world. I've been pulled out. The very church of Jesus Christ is called a called out assembly. That means I've been separated from the rest of this world. I'm not like them anymore. I'm crucified unto them, and they're crucified unto me. The crossroads of eternity met me one day. As a 15-year-old young man, I realized that I was playing church, that I wasn't literally trying to be a hypocrite, but I found that I knew that I was in church, and I knew all about Jesus Christ, a lot like the Apostle Paul. But I had never accepted him as my own Savior. And I stepped out a day and realized that I didn't care what anybody thought. I didn't care whether they thought I was a hypocrite. I didn't care if I lost everything that was meaningful to me in that life. But I needed Jesus because he was the only way that I could get hold of a brand new life. He was the only way that I could touch eternity. And I came to Jesus Christ. And you know what? Not one person that I loved that was in the church house called me a hypocrite. They were thankful that I had come to Christ. Amen. Not one person that day ran me down or run me down. You know what my preacher said? Man, I'm so glad you came to Christ. And I got in a baptismal tank and got baptized into the local church. And the world was crucified unto me, and I unto the world. You say, preacher, you always lived like that? Well, I wish I could. You know, even General William Booth. Now, for those of you that don't know what that general was, he's not the general that sells insurance. You know what I'm talking about. He's the general that led the Salvation Army. And at one time, they really were about salvation, not just thrift stores. They really had a mission that they went out and tried to win people to Christ. You know what he wrote? One of the last addresses that he gave to his soldiers, as he called them in the army there, he said, this day there is a day coming in the near future when we will be, well, listen to this, where religion will be without repentance, that salvation will be without the Holy Ghost, and that heaven will be without hell. We've come to that crossroads, folks. We live in that day where man believes that religion will get them to God. And really, some of them even leave God out of it. That if they just get into an organized religion, that church or that building or that body can get them to heaven. But it has never been religion that got anybody anywhere. It is repentance. You know what repentance is, folks? Y'all think it's a work, don't you? Repentance is a change of mind. That means this religion that I was trusting in to get me to heaven can't get me there. I'm going to repent and turn to Jesus Christ. This works that I thought would get me there, I'm going to repent of that and turn to Jesus Christ. This baptism that I was trusting in, religion, baptism never got anybody to heaven. It's Jesus Christ and him crucified. Amen. Turning and repenting of that. You say, well, oh, preacher, there's nobody that believes in salvation without the Holy Spirit. What? What about the ones that teach when, you know, that the Holy Spirit jumps all over the building? Like he's hopping from one person to the next. That's not the Holy Spirit that's taught of in the Bible. Maybe in the Old Testament when he hopped on somebody and hopped off, but in the grace age of the church, he is in and indwelling the body of believers. He's in this body. He's in me. He seals me into the day of redemption. He has a work to do in this salvation. You say, preacher, you really believe that? Man, I believe that with everything I am. You say, why? Because I found it in his word. Salvation without the Holy Spirit, people would teach that? Yeah. In our day, they do. How about a heaven without a hell? I don't want to go on and tell you all the preachers that I've heard that would back up on a hell. Listen, there's as much as I know there's a heaven. The same Jesus that I trusted in to get me there preached twice as much on hell. And if Jesus believed there was a hell, then there must be a hell. If he came to redeem man so man didn't have to go to hell, then there's a hell. You say, oh, preacher, you're just getting on. I'm just telling you, there's a crossroads. Folks, how about this? There's a crossroads where you have to turn in repentance to Jesus Christ. There's a crossroads in your life that when you accept Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit indwells a believer. There's a crossroads in this life when we come to a place where we get heaven instead of hell and we pass from death into life. There's a crossroads. Here, I see Paul at the crossroads. I want you to see something. I want you to take this, if you would. Just think about this. I wrote this down because I didn't want to mess it up. It is the precious shed blood of Jesus Christ upon the cross that exposes all other false ways and is the only way of salvation. The preaching of the cross of Jesus Christ may be despised by the masses, but it is the only way the lost can come to Jesus Christ and pass from death unto life. Folks, I just want you to understand this morning, there's no bones about it. The crossroads everyone will face is heaven or hell, religion or repentance, an indwelling Holy Spirit, or lost and on my way to hell. That's the crossroads you face this morning. Maybe some of you have met that crossroads and you made a decision. Let me take you on a journey. Go to 1 Corinthians. I want to take you through the Bible and show you some things about the crossroads and the cross of Jesus Christ. In 1 Corinthians, the Bible is very clear about some things in it. I want you to know at the crossroads, people must hear the preaching of the cross. At the crossroads, when they come to the crossroads of their life, you know what I'm talking about. People found themselves at a crossroads yesterday at a funeral. People find themselves in a crossroads when they get into financial ruin. People get at a crossroads in their life when something is happening financially, when it's happening physically with their child in the hospital, and they can't do anything about it. When it gets to the place where they are not in control, they are at a crossroads and they have to make a decision which way they're going to go, whether they're going to turn to the world and its means and the doctors and the financial gurus of this world, or whether they're going to turn to God through Jesus Christ. And the preaching of the cross, when they reach that crossroads, what they must hear is the preaching of Jesus Christ. In 1 Corinthians chapter number 1, I want you to see in verse number 18, I just want to read the verse to you. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. Folks, I don't know about you, but I learned. Listen, you know, when I was lost, sometimes I would sit there in the pew and I would wonder, when is this fella going to get done? Amen, right? When is he going to get finished? Preach on, preacher. And then go, man, why is he preaching on? What is he even saying? None of this makes sense to me. But you know what happened after I got saved and I turned on the crossroads and I made a beeline for Jesus Christ? All of a sudden, the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ meant something to me because I had made that turn. I knew what crossroads he was preaching about. I knew that I had made the decision that every man, woman, boy, and girl should make, and that is Jesus Christ. Say, preacher, you really feel that way? Man, I realize even as a preacher this morning, my voice goes out over the radio and over the internet, and there are so many that tune it in and say, what's he getting excited about? What's he worried about this morning? Why does he preach so loud? Why does he get excited? Why does he act like that? Because the preaching of the cross is everything. It's the power of God unto salvation. Hey, folks, I realize this morning that there's a bunch of people that will turn the dial. There are a lot of people that will turn me off. There are a lot of people that will turn in the wrong direction. But there's somebody that will listen to the gospel of Jesus Christ and the preaching of his cross, and they'll turn and come to salvation through Jesus Christ. And to them, it won't be foolishness anymore, because they heard. Because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. because the preaching of the cross is no longer foolishness to me. It's everything to me. You know, I sit in the pew. You know, sometimes people will put their hand on their heart and they'll hear the song sung to our flag and tears will well up in their eyes and they get emotional because they love this country. But when I made that turn towards Jesus Christ, now when the gospel of Jesus Christ in song or is preached, something inside of me, folks, I'm going to tell you, it's as big as the Holy Spirit of God, wells up inside of me. And I realize there's a power that I never had before inside of me. That something, the power to love the brethren. To love somebody else that some people, I don't even like them. But I love them because of who's in me and works through me. You say, preacher, I don't know. Hey, how about number two, at the crossroads, not only do I hear the preaching of the gospel, or they must hear it, they must see the person of the cross, the person of Jesus Christ. Do you know when I got there, it was no question in my mind that that cross, the person that had been on that cross and paid for my sin debt, paid for your sin debt, was Jesus Christ. The preaching of the cross is foolishness to them that don't know anything about it. But you know, when they see Jesus Christ high and lifted up on that cross, all of a sudden they don't just think it's some symbol, but now it embodied a person who took that cross for me. Do you know, when I heard preaching over and over again, but one day I saw it, that man preaching, I saw Jesus high and lifted up in my life. And I realized that I couldn't be good enough on my own, that I could go to church all I wanted, but it would never change my eternal destiny. But one had come to change that for me, and it was the person of the cross, the Lord Jesus Christ. He changed me. I passed from death into life that day, not because of what I did, but because of what he did. Hey, folks, you know what people desperately need to see at the crossroads? They need to see Jesus. Why do we dress a certain way? Why do we talk a certain way? Why do we live a certain way? Because I want people, when they find the crossroads, not only to hear about Jesus, but to see him in me and in you. I want people to come into the Landmark Baptist Church, and when they get in here, they realize there's something different, not because there's pews and that there's a preacher, but because they can see Jesus in the people that are here when they arrive. The person of the cross. Number three, I want you to see, at the crossroads, they must taste the power of the cross. Do you know, I mean, it's important. You know, I don't know about you. I've already talked about hearing and seeing, but you might see we're on a track to go somewhere and then taste. Do you know, look at the scripture with me. And just turn over a chapter, 1 Corinthians chapter 2. I want you to see here in chapter 2, he says in verses 3 through 5, he says that, I just think about this, and it wells me up inside. Look, go back to verse 1. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God, for I determined not to know anything among you, save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. There are a few times, and I wish I could count more of them, but you know, I've been in a service that I didn't preach anything that I thought was profound. There have been places that I just stood and did, and I know exactly what God wanted me to do, and I didn't try to get me in the way, but I just preached the simple gospel of Jesus Christ, and not only did people hear about him, but they could see him. And then I watched them, and they, you know, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make them drink. And I've watched people taste the power, the good power of a holy God to save them in that place. And I watch people, you know, salvation really isn't all that hard, folks. It's such an easy thing. When we get us out of the way and we just let God do the work of God the way he wants to, when we proclaim the name of Christ and people hear, When we live the way of godliness, righteousness before men, and they see what God can do in a man, in a woman, in a family, in a church. And then when they taste it for themselves, you watch the power of God change the life. Turn the Bible with me, if you would, and go to the book of Romans in chapter 1 and verse 16. I quoted most of it, but I want you to read it for yourself and to know where it is. In Romans chapter 1 and verse number 16, I'll wait a moment for you. But it is true that at the crossroads they must taste the power of Christ. That power, what is that power? It explains it in chapter 1 of book of Romans in verse 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. Amen. Folks, if you ever had a question about what salvation really was, it's always been about faith in Jesus Christ. It'll always be about faith in Jesus Christ. It's not about your works. It's not about your baptism. It's not about your Sunday school teaching. It's not about anything that you could do. I drove down the road, and you may think I'm picking on somebody that I just want you to see. I pulled out and backed out of a spot, and I pointed out to my boys who are in their early 20s, a group of men who are called elders or whatever they are from the Mormon church, and they all had their white shirts and their ties on, and they were dressed up, and they were getting gas at the pump because they were going. And I remember when they used to ride bicycles, and I think maybe they're going to be back to them bicycles because the price of gas, but they were pumping gas in their car. And I saw those boys, and I said, "You see those boys right there, boys?" "Yes, sir." I said, "They're in their early 20s. And I said, those are young men, maybe teenagers in 20s. I said, "They're working their way to heaven today. That's what they think." I said, "Before they can go out and get into the workforce and do all these other things, they're going through a time in their life, and their religion requires them to do this to get to heaven, they think." And I said to my boys again, "You better thank God that you were born in the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ." I said, "Because those boys believe with everything that they are that that is how they're going to." I said, "But if they died today, they would bust hell wide open. Because it's not about anybody's works, lest they should boast. But it is the finished work of Jesus Christ." I said, "Boys, you take a good look at them right there. Because if it wasn't for the grace of God, we could be right there. That could be us. If it wasn't because of the truth of the Word of God." Hey, folks, I'm zealous enough. If somebody gave me, you know, if somebody mapped out a plan, I'm not afraid of work. If I was born in something that told me I had to do and check so many boxes every day and that I could get there, I could do that. I got the manly enough to do that and to think, "Man, I'm an American," and think I ought to work my way and do something for things. And that would make sense to me in my flesh. But I serve a God who was good enough to tell me that I would never be good enough. I serve a God who gave me His word that helped me realize that it wasn't about me, but the power of God and the salvation. Amen. And I simply believed Him. Number four, at the crossroads, they must feel the provision of the cross. You know, after I tasted the good word of God, once I had believed that Jesus Christ was the Son of God and I felt the Holy Spirit of God come in, all of a sudden I got peace like I had never felt before. I began to realize the provision of God, and it all made sense. This church that I'd been attending since I was 5 years old, all of a sudden I realized that God had given me a fellowship of the believers to encourage me on a weekly basis, to be there when I fell down and scraped myself up, to teach me in Sunday school and all the different from the pulpit on a Wednesday night, to just teach the Bible to help me grow. All of a sudden I realized that God had made provision for the Christian life for me. I could feel the provision. I walked down that aisle like I told you before, and all of a sudden, instead of realizing somebody telling me I was a hypocrite, they realized that I had tasted and I could feel. And what I needed to feel more than anything else was the love of God shed abroad from not only the heart of God, but through the man of God. The man of God took my hand and welcomed me into the fellowship of the church. Let me get in the baptismal tank. Wanted me to join his church. He said, You joined a church, you'd been there all your life, from 5 to 15, yeah, but I wasn't saved. And as well as I was welcomed into the fellowship in heaven, he welcomed me through the baptismal tank. Hey, I'm looking at a bunch of people today that know what's right and know the process, but you still haven't surrendered to the first step of obedience to God and been baptized. Because you feel like you might be ashamed, but you got a loving church that would welcome you. You have men in the church that if you couldn't physically walk up, the steps would carry you up because they love you that much. Not because we got to desperately add one more person to the role, but because that's what God's word said we should do. You say, preacher, you feel the provision that much? Yes, I felt the peace of God. You know, I was worried about the devil's hell. I was having dreams, Brother Martin, about where I was going to spend eternity. Do you know those dreams fleeted away after I got saved? The dreams I had was what God could do with my life from then on. Instead of dreams, I had vision of what God wanted me to do in his will. I didn't dream about all the things that could happen. I knew that it was settled forever because of what Jesus did. Turn with me if you would. I want to show you this provision in Colossians chapter 1. I'm using the Bible a little bit this morning, but Colossians chapter number 1. One of my favorite books in the Bible. Again, this church at Colossae, this letter written to a church. He says in verse number 20 of chapter number 1, after it said so much about Jesus Christ in this chapter, we don't have time to read it all, but so much is said about our Savior. In verse 20 it says, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself. By him, I say, whether they things be in earth or in heaven, and you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. Do you know, as I've come to church over this, these many years, you know what I learned about the peace that it gave me? Over and over again, I read in his word that because of what Jesus did, he reconciled me to God. You see, I had no way of being reconciled to him. And I could feel at salvation, but even more than that, I feel it when I get into his church and I realize and I read again the scripture that he wants to present me. You know, the only way to present me holy, there's only one person that's ever been holy, and that is God. It's one of his names. It never could be attributed to me unless he attributed his righteousness to me. Unblameable. There's only one person. I am blameable. If you go back to my hometown and ask people what I was like when I was a teenager, I'm blameable. I wasn't perfect. There were some things that they got them on the roll. The only thing I hold in my high school, I love high school football, but the one record I still hold is the most penalized yardage. Amen. I'm blamable for some things. Unreprovable in his sight. How in the world could a holy God see me? How could he see me unreprovable? That there's nothing to fix. There's nothing to change. It's because when he looks at me, he doesn't see me. He sees the person of Jesus Christ who took my place on Calvary, who died in my place and brought me back. Now listen, we've been through four senses. I want you to see this. We've seen that we need to hear at the crossroads the preaching of the cross. We need to see the person of the cross, the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to taste the power of the cross and salvation. And we need to feel the provision that God has given us. And the last one is smell. My hometown just happens to be, and I got thinking about it when I was preparing the message. My hometown is called the Crossroads of Delmarva. There's three states there, Delaware, Maryland, Virginia, all connected in a peninsula. And right smack and dab in the middle is Salisbury. Both of the major highways, you can't go anywhere through the Delmarva Peninsula without crossing the crossroads that goes through the middle of our town. Anybody wants to get anywhere, they got to cross through that crossroads. It's the crossroads of Delmarva. When I get near and I get on the shore and I'm getting close to there, I can put the window down and tell you I'm near home. I'll put the window down and smell. My hometown is probably one of the largest producers of chicken. Purdue Farms is right there. I mean, you can put the window down, and when you start smelling chicken manure, you know you're near home. I can smell the crossroads a ways off. And you know, in my flesh, for years, when we came home, we came to Bible college here, and we were headed home for Christmas, and I could smell that aroma, and I'd say, we're near home. I'd smell that bad smell, and I'd say, boy, I'm near home. Do you know, in my flesh, I look around the world. Do you know what I smell? The stench of immorality all around the world today. I smell abortion that's unchecked, and even now that they've tried to outlaw it and struck it down in a Supreme Court, there are worthless pieces of skin that call themselves an attorney that will not prosecute it. Hey, I just want to tell you this morning, I'm not making the world better. The world's not getting better. It's getting worse. I smell the stench of sin everywhere and getting like it was in the days of Noah. And if it's coming up to my nostrils, it's coming up to the nostrils of an almighty God. But you know, just like I can smell that in the flesh, do you know what that smells like to me in the spirit? That I'm getting close to home. It may not be a beautiful smell to you, but that smell is an indicator, according to the word of God, that Jesus is on his way. That smell, as the world gets worse and worse, is another indicator that the provision has already been made for me, that I don't have to look. Listen, I'm not looking for the undertaker. I'm looking for the upper taker, because the same Jesus that came and died on Calvary will come again one day. Those angels standing near the tomb, I don't know about you, but remember what they said. Why seek ye the living among the dead? That same Jesus that died on Calvary did not stay there. He rose again to become the very first fruits of the resurrection. That same Jesus. And folks, today, you know what I do? I saw somebody do it today. They were about to step into the church. And I don't know whether they felt like this is an ice box, and they were just taking the last suck of clean air outside before they walked in the refrigerator. I don't know what they were doing, but they walked up to the door, and I seen them go and take that breath of air. Well, every morning when I wake up, I just take a good, and I realize that I'm one day closer to heaven. That my Savior is coming like he said he would come. That crossroads is one day nearer, because the crossroads a long time ago when I accepted Jesus Christ, now there'll be one day. And I'm not even going to wait for a piece of road. I'm going to be raptured out of here. I'm going to be caught up together to be with him in the clouds. Listen, say, my Savior said it, and it's going to happen just like he said. You're here today, and you've never been on the crossroads of your life where you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior. You'll never meet him in the air. The whole world is on its way to hell. It's the wide road. There's a narrow gate that leads to salvation, and it isn't on the highway to hell. It's when you turn to Jesus Christ and receive him as your Savior. I beg you this morning, if you're here and you don't know Christ as your Savior, turn to him in salvation today. Come down to an old-fashioned altar and let us take a Bible and show you how you can know for sure that you can be on your way to heaven. Why don't you step out and do that today when the invitation call comes? But how about the believer? You say, preacher, I have experienced all those things. Well, how about on a daily basis remind yourself that I still have a sense of smell. And even though this world gets stinkier every day, that smells like home to me. I'm going home. It's one day closer to home. As the world gets worse and worse, what did Jesus say? It was going to wax worse and worse and worse. I'm one day closer to home. With heads bowed and eyes closed this morning, if you're here this morning, you don't know Christ as your Savior, would you accept him today? That's my prayer. Why would you put it off? We're not guaranteed tomorrow. The musicians are coming. Let's stand to our feet. If God has spoken to you today about getting saved, step out and come and meet us in the front. If you're here and God spoke to your heart, you said, "Preacher, I've been saved a long time, but I've never been scripturally baptized." Step out and come and let us take you up to the baptismal tank and receive you into the church. If you're here today and you know that Jesus is one day closer than he's been, why don't you come and pray and ask God? Just say, "God, I want you to come soon." Amen. As Brother Bert sings, you step out and come.
Just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come, I come. Just as I am, and waiting not to rid my soul of one dark blot, to thee whose blood can cleanse each spot, O Lamb of God, I come, I come. Just as I am, though tossed about with many a conflict, many a doubt, fightings and fears within, without, O Lamb of God, I come, I come.
Would you bow your heads this morning with me and just ask the Lord to move in people's hearts? If you're here this morning and you don't know Christ as your Savior, and you've been holding on to the pew and you've been holding on, and maybe you've been several weeks, you know that you're not saved, why don't you step out and come? The folks in this building love you and want you to be saved and turn to Jesus Christ. Let today be the day that you cross over through the crossroads and receive him as your Savior. As Brother Bert sings, we'll give you another opportunity. While heads are bowed and eyes are closed, you step out and come.
Just as I am, poor wretched, blind, sight rich as healing of the mind, yea, all I need in thee to find, O Lamb of God, I come, I come. Just as I am, thou wilt receive, wilt welcome pardon, cleanse, relieve, because thy promise I believe, O Lamb of God, I come, I come.
With your heads bowed and your eyes still closed, maybe you're here and you haven't been baptized, not scripturally. You've been saved, but you know that you need to be baptized. Why don't you step out and come and join the church this morning? Maybe you're here and you need to move a membership, something that God's spoken to your heart about. Don't put it off till tonight or tomorrow. Why don't you do what God says today? Step out and come as Brother Bert sings. We'll give you one more opportunity this morning to come.
Just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed,